Time to get real. I want to see some crazy whiz-biz.
What's the magic made out of, ding-dong?
I want to see some of that whiz-biz.
Welcome back to the show. This is WizBiz with Alex and Eric, a podcast about Adventure Time. My name is not Alex.
My name is...
I'm Eric.
Yeah. Wait, am I Alex? Who's the guy on the left?
The guy on the left is Eric.
No, but in our logo.
In our logo? I would say that the guy on the left is you, Alex, right?
Okay, yeah. So I'm Alex and you're Eric. Got it. All right.
Okay, I'm Eric. You're Alex.
Yes.
And together, we are Voltron, or WizBiz, probably WizBiz.
Yeah, I was more of an Evangelion kid. Yes, welcome, Wizard business.
Is there a thing in Evangelion where they, like, form up into...
No, I was just trying to think of other kind of mech things where, like, there's, like, a guy inside of a robot, and that's the one that popped my head.
I suppose there's also in Rescue Rangers, no, not Rescue Rangers, in Power Rangers, don't they combine forces to turn into a giant robot?
Yeah, you're right.
I wasn't as
well
clear
as the Constructicons from Transformers.
They were the best toys. Yeah,
yeah,
those
guys
were amazing.
Green like trucks and stuff, and you can combine them together to make one giant thing.
Man, I loved those things. I had like one, and my brother had one, and our neighbor had like three. So we were able to make Destructor or whatever the big giant thing was. But none of us ever had all of the Constructicons. It was
I didn't have any of those. I had Soundwave was my coolest one. The one with the like the cassette tape in his chest that turns into like birds.
Oh, yeah. I had that guy, too. Well, or at least I had some of the little birds, the little cassette birds. They were like little birds and little men.
Yeah. Oh, I should say, when I say that, I mean my like much, much older brother had that, and I'm a cool 20-something. I forgot. Sorry. I forgot the gimmick I'm trying to do on the show, that I'm a cool young guy on the show.
Now, hold on a second. Don't they still make Transformers?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not all about that trans agenda, all right? What are you going to start teaching me about racial theory? What's the one they get all mad at? Critical race theory? Yeah, what's next?
Transformers for every kid?
Yeah, ugh, disgusting. I don't want to see a Decepticon in my bathrooms.
Anyhow, how's it going, Alex?
I mean, it's, you know, it's dull trudge to death, you know, just really, that's it. You know, slouching, Gamora, you know, same thing. How are you?
You know, I'm good. It's one of those we're recording in the middle of the week, which is I think both of us tend to be a little tired of existence on Wednesdays.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm tired of existence every day. It's just you're
right,
finally matching my
on
energy.
Wednesdays, it's sort of more. It's a more deeper tiredness that isn't just psychological, but also physical.
Yeah, it's possible.
So tomorrow is the leap day, which I think is pretty exciting. I don't know what we're supposed to do to celebrate a leap day. It only happens, you know, every 4-ish years.
Jump.
Okay. I can do that. Oh, we could listen to the Van Halen song.
I'd rather not. Hey, that reminds me. Here's
I'll text
a fun
it to you.
Early internet thing that I remember. Uh-huh. And I don't remember if it was on leap day, but remember that deal where they were trying to get everybody in China to jump at the same time to see if they could change the Earth's rotation. Remember that thing for a while?
Kind of. Yes.
Yeah,
did it work?
I just remember. I think it was on leap day. Was the joke?
Yeah, I did something kind of exciting recently. I started trying to learn how to mix audio a little bit better, like for songs, for music.
Ooh.
I've been reading this book called Remix, which is built specifically or written specifically for Reaper, which is the digital audio workstation I'm using. And I did make a song. I'm not really convinced that it's a good song, so I'm not going to share it here or anything, and I'm not going to make you listen to it, but I might send you a link to it.
Was that the one that I was supposed to make fun of you for?
Oh, yeah. I sent you a really early version of it.
Okay. Oh, wait, I'm going to make fun of you. Your fingering is sloppy. Ha! In your face. Sloppy fingering.
Since sending that to you, I went through and used the song to do all the exercises for like all these different, you know, audio correction and spatial editing and all that kind of stuff. And it's been pretty fun.
You know, there's I'm sure Reaper has it now too, but Audacity just got Audacity's trying to bring in some AI stuff, and they've got a thing where you can drag in a song and run a program and it'll split into its constituent parts. So guitar track, vocal track, drum track.
Oh, that's cool.
Which would be a good thing if you're trying to learn how to mix, you know, because you've got professional sounding things and break it down and you can see what you can make a song that you know what it sounds like already.
Interesting. You know,
remix it into the Eric version of it. With sloppy fingering. I heard somebody say, you know, no, I don't even know if that's true. I heard somebody say that about somebody playing piano once, and I don't know anything about music. So anytime somebody asks me for their, like, any kind of like insight into music, I just say it's sloppy fingering.
I don't know if my fingering is sloppy. I mean, I guess it probably is. I don't know.
I
don't know either. How do I even evaluate that? How do you know?
I learned how to play recorder and that single drum in like seventh grade. That's it. I don't know fuck all about music.
How was your recorder fingering?
My recorder fingering was great.
Not sloppy.
No, it was good. Every time I played it, I kept getting brought back to a previous dungeon I defeated, which was really interesting. To Legend of Zelda.
Another thing I did with my song. So, you know, Isaac Newton was really into alchemy.
Isaac Newton. Yes.
Isaac
the guy
Newton.
The guy that invented Mavity. Oh, you don't know what that is. Forget it. It's a Doctor Who joke from a time after you stopped watching.
Oh, God, that sounds awful.
No, it's actually a really funny bit. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to watch the rest of the Doctor Who's. I just haven't done it yet. Well, I decided to include some spoken word Isaac Newton quotes in the song I made. So I went and found, we go into Project Gutenberg, and a lot of the stuff that Isaac Newton, the serious scientific stuff, was in Latin. And one of the few English things that they have on there is like this strange book, analyses of biblical prophecies through the eyes of alchemy and stuff like that. So I use some quotes from there. Very esoteric, weird stuff. I'll make sure that there's a link to my new song in the show notes so that our audience can hate me more than normal.
Wait, didn't you just say you thought it sucked so bad you didn't want the audience to listen to it like 30 seconds
ago? No, I said I wasn't going to play it right now. I didn't want the audience to sit through it in order to listen to the rest of the episode.
Totally understand.
Right? I do want them to listen to it, but I want them to listen to it of their own free will so that they can say to themselves, I did this to me. Eric didn't do this to me.
So real quick, Newton story, because it's the only thing I know about Newton and I love it so much. So Newton's rival was Robert Hooke.
One of them, yeah.
Yeah, Micrographia, I think, was his book. But so Newton just hated him and basically got him ignored by the Royal Society and, you know, basically just ruined his life. In later years, there was this guy that ended up becoming enamored with Hooke and his writing and his work. And he said, there's like one picture of Hooke, because Newton literally like got destroyed. He said, fuck
destroyed that. Destroyed them
all. So he either did it himself or got somebody else to paint a series of paintings of Hooke based on descriptions of him. And he did the number of them so that it's one more than the number of paintings of Newton available for his time, just to make it. And I was like, oh, that's so fucking great. Yeah. So anyway, fun times. Robert Hooke, much better than Newton, because Newton was a really big shithead by all accounts.
Newton was kind of an asshole. Robert Hooke was president of the Royal Society before Newton.
Yeah, that's the deal. I knew there was.
And he was a pretty he's actually a pretty serious scientist. Like, he did some really impressive things early on. You know, he was basically like the generation before Newton. It's a dark story, Newton's reaction to Hooke.
Yeah.
Okay, is it Adventure Time?
Yeah, I guess. Why not?
Okay. Well, in this episode, we're going to be covering Season 4, Episode 19, Lady and Peebles, and Episode 20, You Made Me. So let's start with the first one. Let's just go through this sphincter, Alex, right into the episode.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I did enjoy that they referred to something as a sphincter. That's something that's always going to make me happy, because I am, in fact, a child.
Well, I mean, we can make sphincter jokes. We just can't talk about air moving through the sphincters.
Why can't we talk about air moving through the sphincters?
Because you don't like fart jokes.
Yeah, but there's many sphincters in the human body. And, you know... not all of them are responsible for flatus. Like, there's sphincters in your eyeball.
How do you feel about, like, burp jokes? Are there any burp jokes?
I'm warmer on burp jokes than I am flatus jokes. Like flatus, I think is unfunny, and people that like it are disgusting people and should be, I mean, frankly, like brought out into the yard and shot about the head and neck. Well, burp, it's like, that's a little uncouth.
Okay, I just asked ChatGPT to tell me a joke about burps, and it wrote a pretty good one. You want to hear it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Why do burps like to tell secrets?
I don't know.
Because they just can't keep things in. AI is going to replace us all.
I've probably said it on the show, but do you know the oldest known joke in existence?
Yep. No, we've talked about that joke a couple times, actually. Okay.
Well, in that case, I'm not going to say it.
A woman sitting in her husband's lap and didn't fart.
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, God. I just asked it for more burp jokes, and they're really, really bad. Oh, what's a burp's favorite kind of music?
Johann Sebastian Burp.
That's better. ChatGPT says it's pop because it always comes out with a bang, which hopefully your burps don't do. Oh my God. Yeah.
Actually almost a good joke because pop does make you belch, you know, because of carbonation. So you
probably
could turn that into a real joke, but, you know, don't. But like that's nearly almost there.
Yeah. Almost. Here's the worst one that it gave me. What did one burp say to the other burp? Let's be naughty and go out through the nose, which is really just a shitty joke. That is just a terrible, awful
Let's
joke.
Let's be
it's
naughty
not even...
and go out through the nose?
Yeah, it's not even a little bit funny.
That's like that no soap radio thing that you did when you were a kid to like see if people would just laugh at you when you
no
did that joke.
No soap radio? You know,
it was a fake joke to see if somebody was just laughing because they want to be part of the crowd. So you say, I think the joke is something along the lines of, what did one polar bear say to the other polar bear while sitting on an igloo? No soap radio. And like the idea is that if you're telling jokes and there's like that dork that's not getting them and laughing anyway, it's a way to tell a joke that sounds like it's like got a set up punchline.
No soap radio.
Yeah, exactly.
God, that would be a good podcast title, actually.
It's a weirdly famous, you know, actually, let's find out if it is a podcast. Maybe that's what we can call other occult podcasts. No Soap Radio is a podcast on Podomatic, my old host. No Soap Radio is also one available on Apple. There's one on Player.fm. Yeah, so No Soap Radio, they're doing great.
Wow, I'd never heard that. That must be an East Coast sort of thing.
Yeah, it's apparently a form of practical joke and an example of surreal comedy.
Yeah, okay.
It's on Wikipedia, and, you know, Wikipedia is definitely not an East Coast thing. It's very South and conservative.
Right.
It's a liberal haven. All right, so
there's a lot of stuff on Wikipedia that it doesn't apply to the entire universe. I mean, you know, Wikipedia is a treasure trove of knowledge, but...
Lady and Peebles starts off...
Lady and Peebles.
...with Lady Rena Korn, if that is her real name, and Princess Bubblegum scouring the Ice Kingdom, hanging out in an igloo, looking for Finn and Jake, who have been disappeared for three weeks ever since going
three
up to the Ice Kingdom.
3 weeks, yeah, yeah.
We find out that PB has put a subcutaneous tracker into Finn.
Oh, I know. It's so creepy. Like, yes. She's like, oh, yeah, there's a secret tracker in Finn's ear, which makes me want to say two things. First of all, is Princess Bubblegum a bad guy? Like, she does good guy stuff in this, but that is, like, both of the episodes that we're looking at today, there are just like flagrant violations of privacy. And
so here's my answer to that is I think PB is an unknowable but benevolent god, in that you can't judge her moral failings against human morality, because she literally created a kingdom.
That's true.
It is by the grace of her alone that she is not just destroying everything in her path, because she has the science to do so.
Yeah, I think there's also an element here where she has sent Finn and Jake on so many missions where they've just fucked shit up that she's finally like, you know what? I'm putting a tracker in Finn.
Yeah, and since she is, you know, she is on high and all-knowing, she can do whatever she wants. She doesn't need permission. I hear that the Candy Kingdom calls her Adonai.
I hear that Adonai is actually a brand of bubblegum in the Candy Kingdom.
Yeah. You get it. You can pick it up down at the Yahweh.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of a good joke. I was saying it like it was going to be one of my real stupid ones. I'm like, no, actually, shit, that was clever.
Yeah, it kind of works.
I should have put some little pizzazz into that.
Yeah, you could probably work on the pacing in that and actually have it sound like you're saying it in a Jersey accent or something.
Yeah, we don't have Safeways in New Jersey, though.
But you got Yahweh's.
Yeah, that's true. We have ShopRite's.
ShopRite.
And Rite is spelled R-I-T-E, which is kind of creepy.
Well, I mean, we have Rite Aid, and Rite is spelled R-I-T-E.
Yeah, but that one you do have to do a ritual to get inside of, and then you'll be provided aid by the angelic choirs.
It's true. I mean, you know, you have to do that little weird dance thing.
Yeah. So here's a brave thing about this episode.
Okay.
There is a fuckload of untranslated Korean.
There is. And, you know, you can find translations online. I like that about this episode. There are some things about this episode that I think are really well done. You know, we were talking about this before we started recording. It should have gone on our skip list, honestly. It slipped through both of our episode combing and ended up on our, like, let's spend a lot of time talking about it list.
Well, in our defense, though, it sounds like an episode that would be worthwhile. Like, Ice King, it's two characters we like hanging out with each other. We know the cardio show. Like, it feels like it should be meatier, and it is not. It is tofu.
It is actually, there is a lot of meat in this episode. It's just, you know, literal.
Yes. But on that note, I just really quickly want to give some of Lady Raina Korn's dialogue from this episode translated. I will not read the Korean because I can't pronounce Korean very well. Lady Raina Korn says, I told them that his Vietnamese noodles were too tough before he went missing. Why did I say such a thing? What if something bad happens to him? The last conversation we had was that his noodles were bad later in the episode. Sorry, I guess I've eaten too many noodles. what if he attacks you with a knife? What if he tries to hurt you? And this is the big speech that she gives.
Oh, yeah. I love this one.
That's right. I'm a little bit too worrying sometimes. I always get haunted by this nightmare where half-dead bodies are attacking my house. My uncle, aunt-in-law, and cousins are all present. I even hear the baby baby crying coming from upstairs. I just wish that I could protect my family. I become too stressful during that dream. I even grind my own teeth, and then she grinds her teeth. When I wake up in the morning, my teeth are all cracked up. I usually try to forget about it, thinking that it's just a dream or I'm being paranoid. But I was actually attacked by these half-dead bodies twice. It's a nightmare.
Lady Raina Korn has zombie PTSD.
Yeah. You know, I would just say get over it.
Yeah, right. I mean, in Ooh, you kind of have to be ready for anything like that anyhow. I don't think there's a lot of room in Ooh for PTSD.
Yeah. I mean, also, she's from like
a... You do what Finn does.
Stuff it down into a box that nothing will ever escape
into the vault, yeah.
You know, but she's from a magical land that eats humans. So, like, I think her nightmares are probably pretty tame compared to the Cronenbergian, Lovecraftian nightmare reality that she actually exists in.
Can you imagine being a human in Raina Korn land? Or a dog, for that matter.
I wouldn't. Here's the thing, though. I'm like, I'm not saying it's a kink of mine, but, like, I wouldn't mind getting eaten, you know?
By a Raina Korn?
Yeah.
All right.
She's real slow. I mean, with my toes.
I think that is a kink. I think it's called vore.
Yeah, I want to be a vore.
You're a Raina Korn vore. I'm probably using that wrong. I don't know if the person with the eating kink is the vore or the person with the being eaten kink is the vore.
Yeah, no, I want to be like that guy from Hannibal that like Hannibal hung onto and just kept chopping off pieces of his body and then being forced to eat pieces of his body. That's what I want.
Oh God,
that's all I want from life.
This is reminding me of a Stephen King short story that I read a long time ago. Where a drug dealer, I can't remember if it's a plane crash or a shipwreck, but a drug dealer with like all this heroin gets shipwrecked on a beach on a deserted island and can't find enough food. So he has to start eating himself.
Yeah.
Have you read that one?
No, but I bet you uses the N-word in it. I've been reading Stephen King the last year and every single book he uses the N-word and it's annoying.
Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, this is just a short story. He didn't really have anybody else to talk to.
Oh, I'm sure he fit it in somehow.
Somehow, probably. So they go into the Dark Ice Palace or whatever to rescue Finn and Jake. Everything is weird. Like, you can see right away that things are wrong. The whole place seems to be made out of organs and meat. Lady Rainicorn, they don't seem to catch on really quickly that things are not what they're supposed to be, I think, which is really interesting. Especially,
yeah, but
since,
I mean, who knows, you know, how many times they've been inside of a sentient meat house. I mean, it is, ooh. You know.
Right. I want to know a few things. Like, first of all, the sentient meat house, Ricardio didn't make the sentient meat house. It must just already exist, right? Like, it's not made out of, the house isn't made out of Ice King's parts.
Well, no, I think it is, because Ice King's got, like, tendrils coming out of the open hole in his chest. And I think maybe...
So the whole place is sort of grown out of Ice King's...
I think it's kind of like a bit like Wolverine, where he can regenerate from one cell.
Oh, God. Did you already use the adjective Cronenbergian?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because I also want to use that adjective. It's a Cronenbergian episode.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's horrific. They are crawling around in these meat tunnels, and you can see that it's sort of interlaced with, like, metal and stone and stuff. Like, sometimes they'll do sort of, like, cutaways where you can see the rest of it. But, like, that scene where, like, the eyeballs open up and the walls and shoot lasers at them. Yeah. Like, there's some creepy shit in this
episode. Those eyeballs reminded me of Eon Flux, if you remember.
Yeah,
if you ever watched that when you're...
Yeah. Oh, God, I loved Eon Flux. Yeah, it was... Eon Flux was really hard to watch when I was a kid when it was first on, because it was like part of Liquid Television on MTV. It was just really hard to catch it, and so I always got to see little bits of it and was just sort of fascinated. It wasn't until I was a grown-up that I got to actually watch all of the cartoons all the way through and sort of see the whole story, and I really enjoyed it. Yeah. Eon Flux is great.
Recommend it wholeheartedly. The movie is not so great.
Yeah, that's true. Agreed.
So at one point, PB runs into Ricardio, and it turns out that Ricardio has built up himself a body out of various spare parts and meats and whatnot. And he did this so he could
out
win
of the
her
Ice
over.
King, yeah,
out of the Ice King,
right?
Finn and Jake are there; they're poisoned by Xenoids, whatever the fuck that is. And
well, they're not good for you.
Yes. I don't know how much of this stuff you talk about on air, but I would just like to ask you, and the audience won't know what this means if you don't talk about it.
Uh-huh.
Did you feel, was it nice to hear PB described as Valkyrian?
I was actually going to mention that, you know, like PB, yeah, so, you know, yeah, I mean, my ex-wife is named Valkyrie. I'm pretty sure I've mentioned that on.
I thought so, but I recently doxed someone on my other podcast and I didn't realize it, and I felt really bad, so now I'm trying to be more careful.
I mean, I'm so self-doxed. It doesn't take that much effort to find out.
But you know, that's your place to dox,
true.
Not mine.
Yeah, I mean, I was I liked it. I appreciated it. I think you know, people should probably think twice before pursuing Valkyries. But it obviously Ricardio got the stuffing kicked out of him.
And PB ripping his arms off and then beating with it is
God, I loved that scene. Yeah,
it awoken some stuff within me.
Yeah, same. It definitely made me remember a lot of things.
Oh, is that how you guys broke up? I was just wondering how you lost your arm.
You know, it was a later relationship that did that.
That ripped your arm off.
Yeah, Valkyrie, the one that I was married to, was never a violent person. She was quite nice.
Yeah, but now that you made it real, it was funnier when we're joking around it.
Sorry. Okay, fine. Back to joking around. You know, there are some really delightful things in this episode. First of all, having PB and Lady Rainicorn be the main characters is great. It kind of sucks that everything they do revolves around Finn and Jake, so the episode doesn't pass the Bechdel.
Yeah.
The Bechdel test. And I love that, you know, Ricardio is played by George Takei. He uses his, you know, signature line. Oh, why? Yeah.
When the end of the episode wraps up with Finn, Jake, and Ice King in the hospital, and PB has made Ice King a new heart out of various parts in a out of Maraca. And then he starts shaking his heart around saying, coochie, coochie, coochie.
Yeah.
Now, that's a reference to something from a long time ago, right?
Yeah, it's a reference to a dancer from like the 40s or something like that.
Okay.
It's not a reference to what we would call coochie.
No, weirdly enough, me saying that literally didn't even think about that. I was like, I have a vague memory of like, I think maybe Looney Tunes used to reference that or something. It's like, I know something from the past that I don't know.
Yeah, I'm almost certain it's one of those like old references that got used in Looney Tunes tons. And people, you know, in the 40s and 50s who were watching Looney Tunes would have like laughed their asses off. But yeah. One of the things I think that's really interesting about this episode is that part of it is kind of a clash between science and magic, right? Because Ricardio is a product of magic. He is Ice King's heart animated through a spell gone awry. And in this episode, he somehow manages to, you know, create this whole flesh castle or whatever out of parts of the Ice King's body, including his own new body. And Princess Bubblegum comes in there with just science and brute force to defeat him.
Princess Bubblegum makes a magical reference in this episode, too. And I didn't write it down because I'm an idiot and I apologize. So let's forget I said anything.
Okay, yeah. I didn't catch the magical reference. I just caught her doing all the science stuff and talking about science.
Yeah. Correct.
So I didn't write it down.
And either. Then at the end of the episode, it is revealed that Lady Rhinicorn preggers.
I know.
To which Jake responds with, "I'm puppies," which is a delightful response to finding out that you're going to have children.
Yeah. I'm so excited about it. I love Jake's kids. They are, you know, I mean, they're tough to love, some of them, but they're just fun and they're great characters, and it's exciting to know that they're going to be here.
There's a lot of good ones, but you know, for every three good ones, there's that episode where you have to talk to the guy that's in business, and it's 12 minutes of the most boring fucking thing that's ever happened. Anything with Roy Khan Quinn or whatever the fuck his name is, like that's I think preemptively skip episode.
except maybe the one with the skating.
Is he in that one?
Yeah, he's in that one.
Huh. I thought that was his granddaughter. What's her face?
Well, yeah, but he's in it too.
Oh, yeah. No, I meant the one that's like only about him. It was very boring.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that'll end up in our skip list. Unless we don't pay enough attention, and then we'll be in a situation like we are now.
Yeah, whatever.
So I think we covered almost everything. One of the other interesting bits here is Lady does speak English for the first time in this episode.
Oh, is that her first English? Oh, cool.
And we also discover that PB can both speak and understand Korean.
Yeah, but I mean, who doesn't really, except for us?
Yeah, so I don't have any more notes for that episode, do you?
I have no more notes. Let's do a segment.
Okay.
I have one short, tiny thing, and then you can do your segment.
Okay, hey, Alex, do you want to show us your short, tiny thing?
Zip. Eric, I want you to pick just a random word or object or something that's older than 100 years old. It could be something you're staring at. Doesn't have to be complicated.
Well, let's go with Frankenstein by Mary Shelley.
So I didn't realize this was a thing. I mean, I knew it was a thing, but so Google has a free books Ngram viewer.
Yeah.
So I just typed in Frankenstein from the year 1500 to 2019 is where it goes out. So obviously the first reference is in 1720. And
what?
Of the.
That's impossible.
Oh, wait, sorry. Wait. Oh, no. Well, yeah, because it's some guy named Frankenstein.
Oh, okay.
And then in. There's a big spike in 1788, interestingly enough. But then in 1822, all of a sudden, big ass spike. And then
Frankenstein.
In 1936, another huge spike, which I'm assuming is the first movie. And then
that's the movie, yeah.
1964, there's a giant spike. And then it just spikes all the way up to now.
Cool.
So yeah, you can just type in any word you want to see. You can type in multiple words.
Okay. I've got another one.
Okay.
Velocipede.
Giant spike in 1841, because apparently that's when it was invented.
Cool.
And then a massive drop in 1846. another spike in 1871. Spike in 83, 1901, 1937, 1966, weird, and 2003. Oh, though there is a in 2018, there is a local biking company called Velocipede.
Oh.
Or maybe that's not... No, no, no. It's Velo is the local company, but it's named after Velocipede.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, it's just books.google.com/ngrams. It's a...
Wait, can we do one more?
If I can spell it, sure.
Snood. S-N-O-O-D.
That was like one of the best games. Remember Snood? It was like a freeware game.
No. There's a game?
Yeah. It was like one of those...
Well, then there might be more spikes than I think.
Yeah, Snood was like one of those match four, kind of like a candy, that candy game that was really popular, where you match like three things in a row and then it goes away and it makes things drop. All right, so Snood first shows up in 1691.
Cool.
Big spike in 97, and then some spikes. Next big spike is 1756.
Okay.
1776.
Ooh.
1788, and then the biggest spike of the word snood is 1821.
Wow. Are there any spikes in the 20th century?
Yeah. There's a pretty big one in 1940, and the last big one is probably 2012, which is about when that game came out.
Well, do you know what a snood is? I guess this is a good shiny rock.
No. I looked it up at one point, but I don't remember anymore.
A snood, so apparently it's used for any device of this sort, but it's a type of like hairnet that you use when you're sleeping to keep like a hairdo in place.
Oh, interesting.
But it's also used for mustaches and beards to keep like beards and mustaches in place while you're sleeping.
Ah.
So I was wondering, like 2012, that could also be a spike right around the time when the beard and mustache competitions were getting really popular again. Like maybe there were a lot of beardos looking for snoods. I've always considered getting a snood, but I've never really taken the step to get that weird.
Apparently the video game snood came out in 1996.
Ah, so yeah, I bet you the 2012 one was a beard and mustache. You know, because there was that big spike of beards and mustaches being like super trendy and people getting really weird with them.
Interestingly, snood banned in FIFA.
What?
I have no idea. They said
like you can't wear a snood.
Why is snood banned? As it could harm players. FIFA was worried that the opposition would put on the snoods, strangling the players. So they decided to ban it completely from games.
Huh. Snood must have more uses than I'm aware of. And I'm cool with that.
There's a question saying the difference between a snood and a scarf. So I wonder...
if there's something else called a snood.
Yeah. There's the religious use by Orthodox Jewish women covering their hair. Huh. Good for them. All right. That is my shiny rock.
Okay. I liked it. That was a good shiny rock.
Hey, Eric, do you have a segment?
I do have a segment. I've got some tarot show and tell.
Excellent.
Okay, so I've got two. I've got two decks. One of them is a brand new deck that was created by a friend, and I know exactly what it is. The other one is a deck that I got for my birthday, and I put away, and I haven't really used it much since then. And it's in this bag, so. I don't really recall what it is. I have some ideas of what it is, but it's kind of a surprise tarot deck. So which one should we start with?
I think you should shuffle them together and we can play gin.
I'm not doing that.
I say we do the the one in the bag.
Okay, the surprise one?
Yes.
All right, let's see what's in there. Oh, that's right. The Brotherhood of Light Egyptian Tarot. It's got on the front of its little white book, it's kind of tough to see, but it's got this really amazing key diagram called the Silver Key. Yeah, it's from the Brotherhood of Light, which is a strange esoteric order. Yeah. Oh, I forgot about this deck. It's really cool. It's a really strange Egyptian style tarot deck. It has lots of correspondences on it. There's Hebrew. There's it looks like some weird alphabets. There's astrological correspondences. It's all filled with like cool Egyptian style artwork.
Yeah.
As you can see, one of the things I like about this deck is it's small and really easy to shuffle. It's got a really nice feel it. It does have pip cards instead of like fully illustrated minor arcana.
Oh, that's neat.
But
I actually kind of prefer those. But, I get a little, overwhelmed with the fully illustrated deck sometimes.
Yeah, I like them both, I guess. And I think there's something interesting going on in the pip cards. As you can see, they all have like constellations on them.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
Yeah, I haven't really looked to see what that's about. But,
well, wait, since we're doing a segment of tarot, Eric, why don't you do three quick cards? Who's going to win the presidential election?
Ooh, let's do it. Okay, so we have basically, we should think of like what cards the two old men would represent.
Well, I would think...
like kings?
No, probably... Is there like a dotard?
I know. I mean, well, they're both kind of dotards, aren't they?
Well, I mean, one.
That's the thing. How do we differentiate them?
Okay, let's say that we'll say Trump is the tower.
Okay.
I don't even know if that deck has the tower in it.
I don't know. I don't either. But I mean, Trump has a tower, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
That works. He's also a very destructive individual.
Yeah. And Biden could be, I don't know. Find a card with Anubis on it or something. he likes dogs, is what I was thinking.
He does like dogs. Okay. The moon has dogs.
Yeah. I mean, if you're like a 17th century astrologer, sure. I was going to say astronomer.
No, I mean, the moon card has.
Yeah, forget it. Forget anything.
The moon card has dogs.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to make a joke and then I said it all wrong and it was just horrible.
Oh, God.
I was just trying to salvage the segment. Well, I just realized we've been going for like 40 minutes and we're talking about something visual. And it's like, we should just, let's figure something out here real quick.
Okay, I'll do these real fast and then we'll move on. Okay. I got the Five of Cups, the Ace of Cups, and the H of a dude on a horse. Look at that. It's literally an H card.
Oh.
There's a man on a horse.
Well, I mean, obviously that represents Kamala Harris. H.
H for Kamala.
Harris,
for Harris. Yeah. All right. Well, I think what we're discovering, this, my official extremely quick tarot-based prediction is that Kamala Harris will be the next president.
Yeah, and she's going to get drunk out of cups.
Yeah, and she's got, because there's a lot of cups here. So she's definitely going to get drunk on cups with her. She's going to be in her cups when they tell her that she's president.
Cool. Hey, yeah. R.I.P. Biden.
Okay. There we go. Mystery solved.
We did it. The next episode that we have covered tonight.
Yes.
Is You Made Me, which starts off with one of the
crunchy,
most occult things in this show.
It does. And it's amazing because it is an occult thing in this show that Princess Bubblegum has sort of set up and created. So one of the reasons I brought up Frankenstein earlier is because this episode in particular is just super, super heavy with the Frankenstein references. Mm-hmm. And Frankenstein, the story itself, has this really fascinating kind of occult science crossover thing going on. You want me, should I talk about that before we get into the episode, or should we talk about the episode first?
Do you talk about that first? But I just meant like that she was doing like what's that, Carillion photography to start the episode.
Yeah. She's basically like, she's created something to display auras, but then she's sort of like found a way to manifest true essence on the material plane. Like it's totally like a magic woo woo physical world, science crossover thing. And I love that about it.
It's interesting she says material plane, though, because it's like, that means she believes in the astral plane.
Well, what it indicates is, I think that might be sort of like more of a Dungeons & Dragons style reference, because in Dungeons & Dragons, you have the sort of like official cosmology with the, where the material plane, the prime material plane is where like the real world is. And then there's all these other planes, including elemental planes and outer planes and stuff like that. And they're, you know, you can access them.
Yeah. I mean, and still that's pretty woo-woo.
Possibly, except that we also know that Adventure Time does literally, the ooh is part of a multiverse. And so there are other planes of existence.
All right.
And Princess Bubblegum probably knows about them, right? Because we were just talking about how she's some sort of weird-ass supreme being.
Yeah, that's true. I apologize. I humble myself before you, Adonai Bubblegum. Talk about Frankenstein.
Okay, so, like, Frankenstein is a story about sort of like perverting the natural law to create life. But in the introduction, when Victor Frankenstein is sort of like talking about his education and how he got to that point, he goes through this whole thing where he discusses all of these occult texts and occult authors and weird occult philosophers that he's been interested in, including Heinrich Cornelius Agrippa, Paracelsus, Albertus Magnus. He talks about Isaac Newton and alchemy. Like, all of these things are sort of like drawn together in there. And he talks about how he read all of these books and he studied all the occult art before rejecting it to go in a pure science way. Now, at the time, you know, electricity was still really new and mysterious for people. You know, there had been a lot of electricity experiments in the 18th century, but electricity hadn't really turned into a thing that, like, people had access to. And so that was sort of the mysterious woo-woo science that Victor Frankenstein was able to use to animate life. The reason I'm talking about all this is because in this episode, we deal with a character who mirrors the actions of Frankenstein's monster in a way, right? So Lemon Grab comes back into Princess Bubblegum's life. Terrorizes Princess Bubblegum's loved ones, you know, the candy people, and is basically like, I'm going to continue terrorizing the candy people until you give me a kingdom of my own to rule. But it has a happier ending than Frankenstein does because, you know, Princess Bubblegum creates a second Lemon Grab and the two of them get creepy.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, Lemon Grab wasn't really terrorizing. He was just standing in their room staring at them while they're sleeping, which is what the shadow creatures do to me every night.
The fact that you don't consider it's terrorizing, it's totally terrorizing.
I find it comforting.
The candy people hate it. Well, I'm glad you find it comforting, but you might be neurodivergent.
I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of people don't like being lonely, and you know, the old hag that sits on my chest while the demon in the corner laughs at me. I think they're like friends.
Wait, you mean Francine and Buddy?
Yeah, Francine left me, dude. You know that.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. So who's the new hag?
Look, I'm just going to say this. Not that to be too much of a cad. We haven't really swapped names yet.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This is just kind of a casual. She sucks off my immortal soul while I'm sleeping, and I am a victim, which is, you know, the way I like it. You know, as we discussed when discussing the last episode, I like to be devoured by supernatural creatures. That's my kink.
I feel like you're trying to make a joke out of this, but I'm thinking back to the very long conversation that we had many episodes ago about finding you a perfect vampire girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing that perhaps it's very possible that you bring this subject up a little too often.
Well, you said many episodes ago, so tautology much?
But that's cool. You know, everybody needs to have
fine. No, keep kink shaming me. That's cool. That's you know what that is? Unacceptable.
No, it's true. Well, I am sorry. I humble myself before you.
I do like that Lemon Grab, while basically yelling at PP, says, "You're my glob." Just like it's directly, yeah. You're my God, yeah. You created me.
Yeah, which I think is also a reference to Frankenstein as well.
Yeah, because Frankenstein's more articulate than Lemon Grab, though. Yeah, because in the original Frankenstein, he gives a speech of like, I should be your Adam and you're my God and I should be the first of a blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a real,
real that's right.
Drama queen. In the stage adaptation of Frankenstein, his monster is called Adam. Fun fact.
Really? Yeah. That's cool.
I just watched a video the other day, a really interesting one. I should have gotten the link.
I always forget that you have like an actual degree in this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I like no stuff. I just usually don't talk about it. But the interesting thing about Frankenstein I was watching the other day is that no one knows where Igor came from. So the first time somebody with all the attributes of Igor, with the hunchback and the thing that you know of Igor, the first time it occurs in a movie and his name is Igor. It's young Frankenstein because it's mocking the assistant character that shows up 75 years or something after the book is originally written. But he's not called Igor, doesn't have a hunchback, isn't a subservient guy to the master, doesn't worship the master, isn't the master. It, all of that shit is just like this weird layered stuff that gets like built up over the years. And the first time it's all put together as Igor as a character is Mel Brooks's Young Frankenstein. It's really interesting.
You're kidding. Yeah. That's where Igor is from?
I mean, every part of that showed up variously over the years before that. But the first time all of the stereotypical things about his assistant shows up in as Igor in that movie. Because in the there's no Igor. There's no assistant in the book. That's not even
– No, there's no – but I would have guessed, though. I would have guessed that it would have been in either one of the classic 30s films or in like one of those Abbott and Costello monster movies.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think they have assistants, but the hunchback, the blah, 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 like all the pieces coming together is Mel Brooks. According to one video I watched on YouTube and I didn't do any research on. But it actually sounds
– Okay, that's cool. I feel – you know, we're not a research-based podcast, so I'm –
But cool, the guy sounded like he knew what he was talking about. Like he was like really confident. So like I feel like it's probably true.
Hey, let's just I'm cool with trusting it.
So speaking of people you don't want to trust, the notorious pup gang, those ne'er-do-wells, those scamps show up in this episode, and they're the ones that finally agree to join Lemon Grab in his kingdom, be his first citizens.
Oh man. It's totally bum slops.
Yeah, it is bum slops. And it does not work out very well at all.
Okay. I have I'm going to continue asking this question because I feel like the evidence just sort of points to it more and more. Okay, so Lemon Grab is like calling PB his glob. Like he's made in the image of his god, right? Lemon Grab is a bad guy. Like, he just takes these people into his kingdom, and the first thing he does is throw them in a torture chamber and begin torturing them.
Well, I think he hits them with a sound sword first, and then... And...
Okay, that's true. That's true, which is also pretty bad. But, like, PB doesn't disassemble Lemon Grab. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the question I have. We discover much later on in the last season that Princess Bubblegum had like a whole early generation of candy people who were so awful or who were so evil that she had to transform the candy people into idiots using, you know, the dum-dum juice, right? Now, Lemon Grab apparently didn't hit that threshold, but he really should have. like he's awful.
I disagree. What is he doing?
Tell me why.
That's actually awful.
Torture?
Of his own citizens. He owns them.
No, he doesn't.
He does.
Oh, my God. Okay, then fine. He owns people. That's also pretty bad.
Okay, yeah. Hey, how about you talk to most of human history, all right, Eric? Oh, yeah. Henry VIII. Oh, yeah. He's terrible.
Bad stuff.
King Hotep. Oh, yeah. He's the worst. Akhenaten.
Yeah,
piece
absolutely.
Of shit. Get out of here. Look, just because you put yourself up as a god in front of your fiefdom and own people doesn't mean you're a bad guy. It's just the way people live back then. Yeah, no, I know. He's like a piece of shit, but he's created that way. So I just like, I'm a little kind of, I'm harsher on PB towards Lemon Grab's behavior than Lemon Grab himself. Like he's made as a sour candy. That's literally his makeup. So him acting within his dharma, like him being that way, I feel less...
Oh, did you just bring up the D word?
Yeah, what?
No, I mean, you're right, though.
He's acting within the bounds of his creation. You know, you don't say, you know, a tiger isn't morally wrong for eating, you know, a villager. You know, it sucks for the village, and you should probably kill that tiger, but still, it's not a moral failing. You know, I don't put Lemon Grab in the... self-aware enough. But also, PB probably should give him the dum-dum juice because he's a piece of shit.
it's kind of amazing.
And also, doubling down on the issue is really bad thinking by
like
PB.
Now two Lemon Grabs? How is that going to solve any problems? However, this is also PB's MO because remember, Goliad.
Yeah. Yeah, but...
Like, how do you solve the Goliad problem? You make another one out of a good guy.
Yeah, but it's not like they made... She just made another Lemon Grab. It's not like she put, like, Finn's hair in the new one or something like that. It'd be like, you know, the person that can stop Hitler more Hitler. Like, no.
More Hitler.
You need like some bulldog looking guy, get his DNA and put him in, make him like Ultra Hitler. What's the name of the Hitler guy from Abraham Hitler from Rick and Morty? There's the genetics of Abraham Lincoln and Adolf Hitler mixed together. Was a character in a couple episodes.
I don't know the name of that character. However, ironically, the voice actor for Lemon Grab does the voices for both Rick and
yes,
Morty.
Really, really great guy. Totally not problematic at all. Justin Roiland, the man who was fired from his own show because of how he acts.
Oh shit, that's the guy. That's the bad guy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh god, I forgot.
Yeah, unfortunately, Justin Roiland does voices on The Adventure Time, and he turned out to be a bit of a shit.
So who does the Rick and Morty voices now?
Some guy. It's like not a famous guy. They did like a casting call, like, or whatever, and just like, hey, who can do like a sweet impression? And I think they hired two different actors. God. So one does Rick, one does Morty.
Have you watched any of the new Rick and Mortys? Can you tell the difference?
I saw a clip and I thought it was, I think I could tell the difference, but if I didn't know they were different voice actors, I don't think I would have picked up on it. But like, you know, having my ears open going like, oh, this is a different actor. But also, like, you know, like season one Rick sounds different, and that's the same guy. So it's, you know, whatever.
So, yeah. So Jamaica Taffy and Blumbo, the notorious pup gang, they did all this. I mean, you know, they're basically a suicide squad.
Yeah.
Right. They're going in to do this thing in order to get total amnesty for their past crimes and also for the big cash money.
Big cash money. And, they get sent to the get sent to the reconditioning chamber was the thing you were talking about for reconditioning, an ominous turn of phrase.
There's
nothing good's going to happen in a reconditioning chamber.
I mean, there's so much no good that happens in this show or in this episode, you know, creating a second Lemon Grab, which absolutely has repercussions later on. Like, Lemon Grab doesn't stop here. And even like when they're leaving and the two Lemon Grabs are up on top and they yell sort of their new philosophy, a lemon gives by taking and cares by yelling. Yes.
That is, I mean, whatever, yelling at each other, making weird lemon babies, you know, it's fine. I'm sure they'll be happy.
Yeah. There are some interesting, one of the things that happens in this episode when they're in the Banana Guard room.
Yeah.
Behind them, there's a bulletin board, and on the bulletin board, there's a wanted poster for the Scorcher.
Oh, for real? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I did not notice that. I do like that the Banana Guards are basically just watching the citizens as a TV show. Yeah.
I mean, it's just part of, you know, like I mentioned, we were talking about the last episode. It's just part of like Princess Bubblegum's ongoing weird ass universal spy thing. I don't know. I feel uncomfortable about it.
Yeah, you know, you gotta find something to jerk off to somehow.
The idea of like creating life, like, you know, as I mentioned before, this episode is definitely sort of an homage to Frankenstein, but creating life and the creation of life is definitely one of those things that's, you know, supposed to remain in the hands of gods. And one of the occult references that it definitely sort of has is sort of like the alchemy thing. Like, Princess Bubblegum is kind of an alchemist. You know, she creates life constantly. She creates all the candy people life. She creates organic life forms. Like, she mentions it in the Ricardio episode that we just watched too. So that seems to be sort of like an ongoing theme or like a common theme in these two particular episodes. And in alchemy, there's sort of the concept of the homunculus, which is a created sort of miniature life form. I'll have some links to that kind of material in the show notes in case anybody's interested in looking up more of it.
If you want to make your own homunculus, you know, take some pictures, send it in. We'll love to see it.
Yeah, it includes a lot of like semen and bull dung and fermenting them together. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, maybe have a spot for that nobody's going to smell for a while.
Yeah, you know, or just, you know, live life. I mean, that's the way the ancients did it. Yeah.
Right.
Just like when I was it. Bathed into the mysteries, okay, Alex. I have a basement apartment, so we had to put the bullhead through this like basement, you know, window. And then when they slit its throat, uh-huh. I bathed in its blood, you know, to you know, become part of the mysteries. But yeah, man, it's stank down here for a while because, you know, fetid bull's blood.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's tough. Yeah, I mean, there's still a little bit of it in the corners down there. I mean, I'm glad that I'm not recording down there right now. You know, in the summer when we're doing the recording in your basement, like, it's nice and cool, but you can still smell all those old sacrifices.
No, you know, it brings you closer to God, and that's all you can really ask for out of a basement podcast studio is closeness to weird Egyptian gods.
Anubis, definitely Anubis.
Yes.
Okay, Alex, where can people find us if they want to listen to more of our inane ramblings about a cartoon?
I think the most important thing to tell the audience right now where to find us is twitch.tv/verbalex. Verbalex, that's right. I've been doing a lot of Twitch, and I'm using this platform to tell people about it.
Oh, no. Wait, is that even... Okay, well, I'm glad. How's that going?
I am officially a professional gamer. I was offered affiliate status. I have accepted it, and now I can get money for playing video games. I'm sure I will get bored of it within a month. But anyway, yeah, if you're into Twitch. But if you're into us, you should go to any single podcatcher and subscribe to us, leave a review. You can find us at whizbizpodcast.com. We're on YouTube at whizbizpodcast, wherever at whizbizpodcast, except for the places we're not.
And if you find one of those places that we're not, let us know, because I'm pretty sure we've snagged WizBiz Podcast everywhere we could.
Yeah, though some we don't know. Like, we have the Instagram, but, like, we don't have a lot of visual stuff. So I think I posted that there like twice a year ago.
Did we ever get a WizBiz Podcast on Pinterest?
I've never even seen Pinterest, so no, we haven't.
Okay. Well, you're lucky.
So
please follow our podcast. Subscribe, tell a friend. That's probably the best thing you can do to help us grow and get better at doing this. And you can yell at us about the things that we have said about Adventure Time on either Blue Sky or Twitter, because I believe Alex is managing our Twitter account and I'm looking at our Blue Sky account.
I'm doing Twitter. I'm also trying to do some Blue Sky as well. So we're both kind of annoying people with our individual stuff. Though on Blue Sky, what I've been doing is posting as if you posted it. So if anybody gets weird, it's your fault.
Oh, great. Well, I posted something about a Candy Kingdom tax law recently, and I didn't get any. We'll see what happens. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Tune in next time for more excitement and adventure. Grab a friend, listen to our podcast, et cetera, et cetera. We're coming up to the end of season 4, and that means the Lich.
Indeed.
The ending was not believable.